broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
And welcome to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch. We go places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't, so they don't, and they won't, and they shan't, because they don't want to wind up, well, quite frankly, the way Colonel Gaddafi did today.
Yay. That can't wait our talk show will.
Well, I don't want to be crude. Thank you, bud. Obviously, I don't mean that in a literal sense. I mean that there are a great many talk shows that are on the air today, radio talk shows, that are, figuratively speaking, going to wind up on a street somewhere, being dragged into a ditch with a couple of shots being pumped into its head. And
which show are you thinking about?
I'm not going to talk about that. I'm just telling you. Well, the point that I'm making, today we saw Gaddafi go down for the count because he represents, and I don't mean to make light of it, but on second thought, yes, I do.
You shouldn't make fun and everything.
Well, hold on for a minute, okay, Dickman? Every time I start the show, there you are with a commentary.
Sorry.
We're going to have on General Galen Shaw in a moment. He'll give us his opinion about what happened today. But the point that I'm trying to make is what you do see in that region of the world is you are seeing the end of an era that goes back hundreds and hundreds of years. You're seeing the end of the autocratic ruler in the Middle East, as it was interpreted, as it was given expression in the Middle East. Whether he was a militarist, whether he was an Islamo-fascist, whether he was a strutting sort of autocratic Bedouin like this guy Gaddafi, who didn't want to call himself a president. He called himself the brother leader of the whatever the hell it was. I don't, you know, these guys had a million different ideas, a lot of different names. They thought they represented some kooky future. They didn't represent anything. They didn't represent the future any more than Hitler did. And so they are relegated to where all the old and broken things are relegated, to the dustbin of history. That's where those guys are headed. And the predictions that people make about the end of capitalism, the end of democracy, the end of it doesn't come from anything that's true and intellectual. It comes from people with their feelings hurt.
Yeah, but they get the feeling hurt about what, you know?
I don't know, man. Maybe they caught a lot of the people. I've always believed a lot of the people that get angry with the capitalist system, democratic system, what have you, I think are people that were cut out of that system somehow, or were not. I don't know. I shouldn't say they aren't smart enough. I think everybody's smart enough. They were just too bitter, emotionally broken, and decided that they would take a contrary point of view. But look, you know, the proof is in the pudding, like our moms and our dads used to say. You know, all you got to do is take a look at the facts, and there it is. There are the facts. There's Gaddafi. As a matter of fact, on Phil TV in HD, if you are watching Phil TV in HD, we will roll once again the Gaddafi death video. And no, it wasn't that one with the bloody face. You saw that one, bud?
Yeah, that one was real.
No, it wasn't.
No, it wasn't, man. That was fake.
That one was fake. This is the real video. As you can see, this was broadcast by Al Jazeera. Gaddafi at one point is on his back. He looks to be unconscious. And then he is rolled over and when the camera finally is back on him, there's a pool of blood and he's rolled over onto his stomach. So they might have, at that point, applied the coup de grace, as they say. General Galen Shaw is going to join us in just a moment. But I want to remind you that our affiliate spotlight tonight is on. It is bright. It is shining. And our affiliate spotlight this evening is on KTLK in Los Angeles, our great flagship station Monday through Friday, KTLK AM 1150. And in Boise, Idaho, our affiliate there is KNH. Is that KNHF? Boy, are my eyes bad, man.
Get some glasses, man.
I believe it is. Anyway, KNHF in Boise, Idaho. Thank you. A fantastic crew, a great affiliate lineup, a great bunch of stations. It's great to be alive. All right, 877-876-PHIL is the number. Now I've got another thing I want to announce, and then we're going to get to General Galen Shaw and the death of Gaddafi today. Now here's what I want to say. We have a contest that we are inaugurating tonight for one free month of PhilHendryShow.com. That's right, we're giving away Phil for free for a month. You get a backstage pass to our website, all of the archived video, all of the archived audio that goes back 15 years, all of our character bits, all of our video rants, all of our everything will be yours if you win our special drawing. How do you enter the drawing? Here is how you enter the drawing to get one free month of PhilHendryShow.com. You either go to our official fan page on Facebook, which is facebook.com/PhilHendryFans, PHANS. That's facebook.com/PhilHendryFans, PHNS, and like the page. Now, if you've already done that, you may also go over to Twitter and go to the Phil Hendry Show page at Twitter. That's www.twitter.com/PhilHendryShow and hashtag PHS. Just put the hashtag PHS up at PhilHendryShow.com, PhilHendryShow at Twitter.com, and that will also enter you in the drawing for one free month of the Phil Hendry Show. So you'll get a free backstage pass that gives you access to all of the thousands of hours of recordings, audio archives, and so forth on our website. And it'll also give you access to our video archives, and it'll give you access to things that you really shouldn't have access to. I mean photographs. I mean moments of when I didn't know the camera was... I'm kidding, no.
You don't need to do that, man.
No. But, you know, we'll. There's always something weird that we're brewing up, so you'll get free access to our website for 1 month, so do that, okay? Go over to our official Facebook page, which is facebook.com/PhilHendryFans, fans spelled P-H-A-N-S, or go to twitter.com/PhilHendryShow and hashtag P-H-S, hashtag P-H-S. That's it. That's all you got to do. Good luck from the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. General Shaw, I thank you very much, sir, for hanging on, and how are you this evening?
I'm doing well, Phil, and it sounds like you're doing very well yourself. And thank you for having me on your program.
All right, so today we saw, I suppose, was it any surprise? And by the way, our affiliate in Boise is KINF, so I guess I really carved that one up. Didn't I mess that one up, huh?
You said H.
Boise is KINF. Wow.
You know something, Phil? The good news is I listen to KINF when I'm in Boise because I have a fishing lodge not too far from Boise. I have it up in the Antler Ridge area, so I'm very much familiar with that station. It's a great station, and I'm very happy to know you're on it.
You do? You listen to them?
I most certainly do. Myself and Magdalena, my wife, has had that programmed onto the digital. She knows how to do it. And she punches in all the right buttons. I don't know what to do. And we'll drive to the lodge, and she'll say, oh, you know, let's listen to the talk shows. And so it's quite enjoyable.
All right. I thank you very much for that, General. Let's talk about today's activities in Libya and what happened to Colonel Gaddafi. Is this a surprise?
Well, I don't think that's the question to ask, Phil, and with the greatest of respect to you and your listeners, I don't think we should say it was some kind of an activity. We're not talking about going on a picnic here.
And, no, I understand that, sir.
All right. Well, we are talking about a man who was in an automobile at one point, and apparently there was a missile strike. It most likely was, my understanding, the missile was fired from one of the British Tornadoes that they fly on patrol for NATO. Most likely was probably a Strata or a Pinsir missile, the very high velocity. It has a moderate payload, but it can definitely, as we say in the Army, it'll deliver some heartbreak. And so this is what immediately took out the automobile, and I believe Gaddafi was mortally wounded at that time. And that was when he was set upon by this... did not look to be disciplined soldiers at all. It didn't look to be a disciplined cadre of fighters at all. It looked to be some kind of a mob scene of, I don't know what, a local militia or just individuals with weapons. And the word that I got was that he was then taken from his car and summarily executed. I don't think this is anything to be proud of. I don't think that it is anything to laugh about. I think that he should have been delivered to The Hague and should have been put on trial for whatever crimes he allegedly committed against the Libyan people. But to be pulled from his car and gunned down like an animal, I don't think it speaks very well of the United States and what we stand for, and for our people and for our government to be...
Well, hold on for just a minute, because we didn't do this.
Well, we didn't do it. Okay, let's go ahead and say that we didn't do it. Which is, I don't think there's anyone listening to the program tonight, Phil, that is going to accept that as a plausible, realistic statement. Of course we did do it.
And well, no, we. What do you mean we did it? There was Libyan, as you say, this was a rabble at best. Nonetheless, I'm not in any position to judge these fighters. They've been out, you know, doing battle with these professional Libyan forces for months, for years in some instances. They probably weren't in any mood for anything other than to just put this guy out of his misery. I really don't know.
Well, that's exactly right. You don't know. The United States could very well have had boots on the ground and had intercepted Gaddafi's vehicle well in advance of him arriving at this rendezvous when NATO decided to go ahead and push the button and get wheels up on that operation.
Now, the United States could have had boots on, in what way? What do you mean boots on the ground? So, troops?
Yes, sir, there's absolutely troops. When we say boots on the ground, that's what we mean.
And yeah, but the American people have had it with that. They don't want to, you know...
No, the American people have not had it with that. The American people have had it with the George Bush adventures of Afghanistan and Iraq. But what the American people, I think, are in the mood for are these very clean and efficient Barack Obama operations. See, the difference between Obama and Bush is very clear. Bush goes in ham-fisted, ham-handed, like a bull in a china shop, breaking everything that he sees, smashing into everything, and smashing everything. And this is what we saw in Iraq, Phil, as well as in Afghanistan. On the other hand, we have President Obama, whose strikes are surgical. They are battalion size at the most, and of course, in the case of the SEALs and the operation against Bin Laden, it's a much, much smaller group of men, a company, two companies of men, going in a surgical, in a very septic and a pointed move. They go in, they take out target A, that is target A, Geronimo X. They remove Geronimo, taking target B, C, and D with them, and they have evacuated fully and cleanly before the sun even decides it wants to rise.
And okay, you're giving President Obama, I think, and I don't know, but are you not giving President Obama a lot of credit here?
He's the commander. Let me explain something, Phil. He's the commander-in-chief.
No, I understand that, sir. But when you say that Bush's operations are ham-fisted, bull in a china shop.
Well, absolutely, they were.
Okay, and then you say, and now President Obama, look at his operations. They're surgical strikes. They're concise. They boom, boom. They get in, they get out. What do you call what happened to Gaddafi?
What happened to Gaddafi today was a George Bush-style operation, and I think that Obama should have used his own instincts, and rather than go along with the George Bush-style plan, he should have gone in surgically and removed Gaddafi, as we've seen Obama able to do in the past, just as he did with the SEALs and those pirates, and so forth. So,
all right, hold on, General, because this is an interesting line of I think we're into an interesting line of questioning and answering. I don't know whether we are, we are approaching anything, to be honest with you, whether we're dealing with a reality or not here. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. General Galen Shaw has joined us, talking about the difference between George Bush, who he calls ham-fisted and heavy-handed and smashing into things like in Iraq, and the precise surgical strikes of Barack Obama, which could have been utilized today in capturing rather than killing Muammar Gaddafi. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. We will be right back.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. Listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL. Here on the Phil Hendry Show, we're showing on Phil TV and HD, which, of course, you are welcome to watch Phil TV and HD, which is the video cast of our nightly broadcast. All you have to do is get a backstage pass and come on in. We are giving away a free month of our backstage pass to a lucky listener, and we'll tell you more about it next hour. We have with us General Galen Shaw. General, you said something, and we just saw a little bit more of the video here of Colonel Gaddafi. You said that this was a ham-fisted operation, and you were indicating or otherwise suggesting that the United States had something to do with this.
Mr. Hendry, you please understand, there isn't anything on Earth that happens that the United States is not able to intercede and somehow affect one way or the other. And I think it's naive for us to believe that Colonel Gaddafi, his automobile was interdicted by NATO forces, forced to abandon the vehicle. He was set upon by this Libyan horde and was summarily executed in the street like roadkill, dragged to a ditch, three shots pumped into his head, laughter, people breaking out sandwiches. And
Wait, where are you hearing this?
These are the initial reports that I got from some of my people on the ground. I've got boots on the ground, and some of my people have their ears to the ground in Libya.
And you have contacts.
Mr. Henry, I was a general in the United States Army. Do you think maybe I've...
No, I understand that.
You know, it's not like I'm just sitting here playing bumbly peg with my thumbs. I'm retired, but I have... I've still, as the quote John Houston, I've still got teeth in my head and some friends in town.
And no, I understand that, General. I didn't know that you had such specific information that you know what happened to this man... That you are saying that that people were I don't understand, they were celebrating.
Well, the information I got was that Gaddafi, once the automobile was stopped by two direct pincer missiles to the engine block, which essentially brought the vehicle to a stop and created quite a fuss inside the vehicle itself. Understand that this was a convoy, and that Gaddafi's vehicle was an interior vehicle. Now, once the lead vehicles were taken out. Gaddafi's vehicle was then stopped, and that's when he was set upon by these Libyan militiamen, basically getting him out of the car. They dragged him over to the ditch, and at one point were trying to decide on where they wanted to execute the man. They finally decided on a drainage ditch, which was up the highway about 300 feet, and was, I guess, that had very good cover so no one could see them. They took him down into the ditch. Apparently pumped three or four shots directly into his head, and then one more, and then someone had a picnic basket or something, and they decided to have lunch.
They decided to have lunch with a picnic basket.
This is what I'm talking about. This is why I am outraged, and I'm outraged on behalf of every American. And I'm sure that you and your listeners, this is not the America that I know.
But this is not America, General. I mean, I don't...
I'm telling you right now, Mr. Hendry, you are naive to think that America didn't have something to do with this. We could have taken him...
Why did America have something to do with this?
Why did America have... Say your question again, please.
Why did America... Why do you believe the United States of America had something to do with this... the more you talk about it, the more horrific it sounds. This execution and then picnic... that happened around Muammar Gaddafi.
Think about it, Mr. Hendry. How could this happen without our knowledge?
And whoa, wait a minute. What do you mean, think about it? That's not an answer to my question. Think about it.
No, I'm asking you, in all good conscience and good sense, do you think this could have happened unless we gave it the green light at least 48 to 72 hours in advance?
And I don't understand why you think that way. What makes you think that we have to green light these things?
You know, Phil, you must understand that I was in the United States military for some 41 years, and there are things that you and your listeners just don't know. And I don't really think it's right of you to assume that I don't know what I'm talking about. And you do. I was in the military, you weren't. And let me just say...
All right, but you still have to answer questions. What makes you think the United States had a 72-hour heads-up on this thing and had to give it a green light? And what evidence do you have?
Mr. Hendry, I don't need evidence. I just got done telling you. I was in the military. There are things I know that I cannot share. I think more than half of your audience probably understands this. And let me just tell you, you can trust me on this. The United States made the call probably within 5 minutes of that missile hitting Gaddafi's car. Obama made the call, terminate.
And Obama made the call, terminate? How did this information get...
Yes, Obama made the call terminate. Your reaction to me, Phil, is...
How did this information get to these guys on the ground?
If you've ever heard of something called a radio...
God.
You're kidding, right?
No, sir, I'm not. I wanted to know...
Phil, before we move on, your voice is very grating. When you go, how did these guys get to be... It's grating on my nerves.
Hold on, please, General. We'll be back. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
877-876-PHIL.
Oh, God, shut up.
Stronger and better for it. Now, if you're a business owner and you want to reach my listeners with your message, call us now, 877-474-6605. The listeners on this station are loyal and patriotic. They'll support you. If they know who you are, call us. Welcome back to world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. General Galen Shaw joining us, retired United States Army General. General, the strike today, the killing of Muammar Gaddafi, Colonel Gaddafi, you claim is something that was green-lit by Washington, by literally President Obama himself. You're claiming that the operation itself was one that the United States could have stopped or started or modified, and yet you offer no evidence. And that is that you're saying.
Well, look, you know, you want everything to be.
No, but what you're saying is the following thing. You're saying that you made a statement earlier that President Bush's military tactics were ham-handed. Those were your words, ham-fisted, bull in the china shop. And you then said that President Obama's military strikes have been, up to this point, precision, surgical.
Well, do I lie? Asking me all of these questions, what's your proof, what's your evidence, is almost like asking a brain surgeon, show me once again the x-rays, even though I don't know what I'm looking at. Don't insult me and show your own stupidity by asking me a lot of foolish questions.
And what questions am I asking that are foolish?
Well, you're asking me... why do you know Obama greenlit the operation? Believe me, I know. I know that within 5 minutes of that Pinsir missile taking up the engine block on that Land Rover, that Obama nodded to an aide who is generally a naval officer, and all you have to do is nod to your right. The naval officer will stand at his right. He nods. The naval officer then pushes a button, which is a direct communique to the White House defense room. In that direct communique from the naval officer pushing the button, then goes to a series of radio operators, and they send either code A, code B, code C, code D, or they send out any one of five color codes, which is blue code, red code, yellow code, green, I forget the other one, and those go to the theaters of operation. So Obama nods, and let me go through it again.
No, I don't. That's fine. If you say that that's what happened, so Obama nodded to a naval officer.
Yes, yeah, that's right.
And then what?
Phil, I want to answer you, but again, you're reaching a level of hypertension. You go, and then what? That's what I just heard you.
I apologize, sir, but I'm incredulous, okay, as we often say on this show. Then what happened?
Obama nods to a naval officer who nods back, turns to his left, pushes a button on the wall. That communication goes to the White House defense room. And in there, you have anywhere from four to five radio operators. And they send the communique out in either five numbered codes or five colored codes or five lettered codes. They now call them, by the way, color codes. They don't call them colored codes because it offended some of the African-American members of the military, and I don't blame them. So now they are called...
Okay, so that's fine. So then this went out, and...
Yes, it went out, and within 5 minutes of Colonel Gaddafi saying, someone turn on some music, or can you turn the air conditioning up back here? And that's probably the last thing he said. And then the engine block blew into thousands of pieces before his very eyes, and someone pulled him out of the car.
All right, I'm going to get Kurt Quady and Guy Barton on the line. These two gentlemen are members of the West Virginia State Legislature. They are also frequent contributors to our show, and they are great admirers and supporters of President Obama's. I know that. Kurt Quady and Guy Barton. Kurt, how are you?
Phil, we're very, very good. I'm delighted you had us on your program. Thank you. Thank you.
And General Shaw, these two gentlemen... Have some questions for you. I don't know who wants to start.
Well, Phil, I'm going to start. General Barton, how are you? My name is Kirk Quady. I'm a West Virginia State Senator.
Yes, sir.
General Barton, I admire what our military has done for us. I think you all have done a splendid job to keep our country safe from the many enemies our country has. And I would like to call into question some of the things you're saying, because even though I'm just a West Virginia State Senator, you know, and I'm not a man has access on Armed Services Committee, all this mess, I do believe that President Obama and the way he operates the United States Armed Forces, I think he has to go to the Congress of the United States Board to do that. Is that right? Now, let me just ask, here's where you may be wrong. I'm going to ask my friend Guy Barton to come in and comment.
Yeah, General. Guy Barton here, sir.
Yes, sir.
This is Guy Barton. Now, General... Barack Obama, you gotta go. You got a Congress member that's gonna say that. And they're gonna say, listen, you can't just go in and blow a man head off or anything. You want to call that, you got to get some green light and everything.
Yeah, that's a good point. You said he got a green, he gave a green light. Let me just, before you gentlemen go on, unilaterally, the President of the United States is entitled to do anything within the parameters of his office of commander-in-chief to protect the country. And,
That's not going to protect country and do all that.
I don't understand what you're saying, but I...
I said that's not going to protect country.
No, yes, it does protect the country because Gaddafi was a terrorist who blew a jet out of the sky over Scotland and murdered young college students that were returning to the United States. And that's, say that again, because that one...
Yeah, what's that?
You never heard of Lockerbie?
You guys never heard of Lockerbie?
No, I never heard of Lockerbie. I don't know. Is that Scotland? It sounds like a Scotland.
Yeah, that's Scotland, but I don't know.
Well, Lockerbie was a Scotland. How did Scotland get blown out of the sky?
No, Lockerbie was the town in Scotland that the TWA jet crashed into after it had been bombed in the 80s by Gaddafi's Secret Service, Secret Police.
Well, I don't know about it, and but I will say this. I think a President of the United States deserves a lot better than you say he's going to get a green light and drag a man to a ditch, you know.
See, I've dragged a man out of ditch.
Well, listen, I'm not saying that Obama said drag the man into a ditch. I'm saying that he probably told them, job well done, now break for lunch. And what do you mean break for lunch? And
well, what does that mean?
What does it mean? Obama gave the green light. You guys are... You know that.
I got the green light to talk break for lunch. What do you mean?
They went, they killed him. They killed, God, I'm tired. I got to lay down. Hold on. Well, Phil, I don't blame the general need to lay down because I've been listening to him here on your program, and he is talking up a storm.
That wind coming out of his mouth, I'll take out two good-sized Oklahoma towns, you know.
Well, that's true. All right, I better. I'm laying on my back now.
General, we can terminate the conversation.
No, I don't. No, I will not terminate this conversation because I want to make sure that I'm being heard clear. But I'm talking and I'm talking and I'm talking and I'm not getting through to anyone. I'm talking and talking and.
General, I don't want to make you tired, sir. I have nothing but the highest regard and respect for the United States military, as I always have. But I think you said some things here today that. Barack Obama did a green light on Muammar Gaddafi, get his head blown out, and then they're going to drag him into a ditch, pump two more shots, and have lunch. I think that reflects very badly on the United States military. And you have to understand something. We've hired these Libyans. They're going to kill him, and then they need to break for lunch. You can't tell them the customs and the cultures of the desert people of northern Africa, the Saharan people, are very specific. And they break for lunch every day at 1:30. It doesn't make any difference if you've killed Muammar Gaddafi. It wouldn't make any difference if Jesus himself returned from heaven, you know.
Well, what I care about, this guy Barton, well, I care about that.
It doesn't matter if you care about it. The Libyan people and the Bedouin people of northern Africa, of the northern African Sahara Desert, have very specific customs. God!
Take it easy, General. We're listening to you.
All right. You never, ever, ever, if you are a Bedouin person of the northern Saharan Desert, you never, ever miss your lunch break of 1:30. So if you're in the middle of blowing a man's brains out, you will stop, eat, maybe even nap, and then continue. Well, that's about as kooky as then. That's
way out.
Well, baby, that is kooky. And well, you know something? You don't sound like much of a state senator with, ooh, baby, that's kooky. And I will say, General, I respect you, sir, but that sounds like a very kooky thing, and I don't believe it.
I've got to say, I don't believe that either, you know.
Well, then neither one of you gentlemen know anything about culture.
All right, I'm going to jump in here, and I thank you very much, Kurt and Guy, for calling in. General, I hope you're feeling all right. I got very alarmed there when you said you had to lay down. Are you okay?
Yes, well, I'm fine, but those two gentlemen were... Boy, they really got me worked up, I'll tell you that.
Okay. My question is, and you know what? I'll hold the question back for until after the break, because I think we need to... I think we got a couple of minutes. Here's my question. If the Bedouin people of the northern African continent of the Saharan deserts have to break for lunch at 1:30, are you trying to tell me that what they did is they killed Gaddafi and then realized what time it was?
Yes, because that's indicated because they killed him, and immediately someone went into the back of a truck, and out came a table, the folding legs on a table. And
are you telling me they set up a buffet?
I don't know. I'm trying to just tell you the facts of what I know and the boots on the ground that I've been in touch with over the last 48 to 72 hours. And I've got two very good contacts among the Alup people of the Saharan bug region, and there is the Afani Depression. And this is well known to historians of World War II, when Rommel was caught in the Afani Depression.
Okay.
So in any event, my people tell me that 1:30 hit right after they killed Gaddafi, so they went ahead and just a couple of the guys used him as a stool. I know that...
They sat on him.
Because they were eating lunch, yeah. And that's why I say that Obama was co-opted by the methods of George Bush, and this never would have happened had Obama been doing... Had Obama been doing what he himself feels is the right thing to do, and that is to be very respectful, take advice from his wife, from his children, go very slow, and we would have had a precision surgical strike like the Bin Laden one.
Well, you haven't offered any proof. You've asked me to believe you based upon the fact that you're a general.
That is exactly right, and the fact that you even repeat it that way sounds very insolent.
I'm sorry, sir, but that's my job as a interviewer on a radio show. You haven't offered any proof. You've simply said to me that the Bedouins have to break for lunch at 1:30,
But Mr. Henry, please don't say it like it's a punchline, all right? The Bedouins have to break for lunch at 1:30. You say it like it's a punchline, like there's a laugh track.
I'm saying it like it's an absurd sounding statement that they have to break for lunch. So they killed Gaddafi. They brought out a table with folding legs.
Yes, I didn't say buffet, did I?
No. Well, what else did they bring out?
They brought out some covered dishes. I have no idea what was.
They brought out covered dishes. They had lunch, and then they went ahead and continued killing him.
they didn't continue. The man was already dead. But they had to drag him around out on the road and do the things that they that these Arabs do. But I'll tell you this. I hope like hell that that Obama signed off on this, because if he didn't, someone's got a lot of explaining to do come next month when they fly the operatives to Washington and pay them off.
Oh, next month they'll be paying off the operatives. All right, General Galen Shaw, I appreciate very much your input.
No, I don't. You know something, Phil? I'm going to call you on that. I know you don't. You don't appreciate it at all. You'll talk about what a weirdo I am. And those two guys from West Virginia.
No, I will not talk about. You know, I can give an opinion, okay?
You give opinions, but then you also talk about what a weird old freak I am. And I know that those two hillbillies, they'll do the same thing.
Well, if that's what I do, that's what I do, and you don't have to come back on the show.
Maybe I won't.
Okay, well, I'm sorry to hear that, sir. And we've always liked your appearances. But,
but not if you're going to treat me like I'm garbage. Not if you're going to treat me like I'm something that fell out of a dog's rear end and is stuck on the heel of your boot. Stuck on the heel of your 3-inch high heel boots. Never mind.
Yeah, okay. We'll be back. Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. And more to come. We have a liberal roundtable with Dean Wheeler, Don Mixa, and Debbie Dooley. On all of these goings-ons. That's up next, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
You understand?
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Oh, yeah, I got to start talking, otherwise I got to listen to that bumper music. Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. And we're here every night until 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. I thank very much General Galen Shaw. We are going to be talking with Debbie Daly, Dean Wheeler, and Don Mixa about a really strange story. It's a strange story, and it's also a tragic story. And it's the kind of story that more and more, you know, we are reading these days on the air. But nobody is saying what really needs to be said. And we would like to say that. And one of the things is, the other day, I'll give you an example. First of all, I'll tell you that the story is about this guy that shot these, this guy, I should say, that had all of these exotic animals. And then he killed himself after he let them all out. And so sheriff's deputies had to come in and shoot these animals. And what do you suppose was the reaction of a lot of people? Very typically American reaction. Why did you have to kill them? Why didn't you tranquilize them? Well, we're the sheriff's department. We don't have a lot of tranquilizer. You can get them from animal control. That's right. Animal control has some, maybe, but they don't have them in the abundance that we needed them because there were tigers. Well, why don't they? Because we usually don't have to deal with escaped tigers and lions to that extent. Yes, we've had one or two tigers and lions get loose. We haven't had like 50 wild animals. Well, you should make better precautions and take better care. Yes, there's a lot of things we probably should do were we able to anticipate just how freaking weird human beings can be. Unfortunately, we are not successful that way. One of the reasons? Well, one of the reasons is because in order to do a lot of these things, we have to get a consensus. It's a democracy. We have to go to the county supervisor, who has to go to the city council, who has to go to the state legislature, and they got to go to the Congress. So things just don't get done as fast around here as, let's say, oh, I don't know, autocratic Iran or Soviet Russia or Nazi Germany, where one guy just says, I want more tranquilizer darts there at animal control, or someone dies. Yes, sir. It's this 9/11 effect, you know? Every stupid clown that thought that 9/11 was an inside job, what were they really saying? Well, what they were really saying was the following thing. America should have prepared. We should have known. Why? In other words, America's like God. Should have known this, should have known that, should have known something else. We should have done this, should have done that. And why didn't we? And, oh, God. So, you know, this idea that we have to be absolutely perfect and know exactly what's happening at all times really tightens my jaws, man. No, we don't. You know, grow the hell up. Where the hell do you think you're living anyway? You think you're living with your mommy and daddy, and daddy's going to take care of everything, and if daddy doesn't take care of everything, then it's all daddy's fault. You know, we're grown adults. It's an ugly freaking world. There's a lot of weird mothers, freaks out there, cats out there. Man, I got no idea what these guys are thinking, you know? Some guy decides that he's going to let these animals go loose. He's going to kill himself and let these animals go loose. And it's somebody's fault that they had to shoot the damn animals. Talk to this jackass. People, some of these people that say they love animals, they hate animals. They don't give a damn about animals. What they want to do is they just want to get away from the human race. They don't like people. So they use animals as sort of a surrogate warmth and surrogate friends that don't give them crap, that do exactly what they want them to do, that don't talk back. In other words, people that really like animals in lieu of humans, they just like to be able to control another living thing without it having any say in it. That's what I think about these so-called animal lovers. They don't get along with people. They just want to, you know, control an animal, even to the point where they have, you got it, sex with it.
All right. I knew you were going to get to that.
Well, I knew you wanted me to get to that. All right. So we'll talk about that with Debbie Daly from Daly's Daily, which is a public radio morning show. That is coming up. We'll also be talking with Dean Wheeler, Don Mix as well, about this story, which is a really bizarre story. And I started talking about this, and I had a whole thing I wanted to talk about something else that I totally forgot. And it might be Alzheimer's, but I think more to the point, it's me getting off track.
Yeah, you started talking about something else you forgot.
That's what happens to me, man.
How are you doing instead of Alzheimer's, though?
It might be Alzheimer's. We may be witnessing the very early stages of me just completely losing my mind. So stick around, folks. Stick around. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show. And I could very well be, you know, losing my mind here. I'm serious. On the air. We'll be back next hour. Stick around.
Phil Hendry.
It's a no-stick.